Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Gary Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into this Tuesday edition of Preds Insiders. Ryan Porth alongside Darren McFarland of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Weekdays 10 to 2, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can also hear Darren on the pre- and post-game shows on the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, last night, the Preds get a 6-1 win over Detroit.
Yay!
And over the last 5 or 6 years, there haven't been many wins against the Detroit Red Wings.
One going into the game.
Right. Ever since Peter Laviolette took over.
Now two.
So now they are 2-10 in their last 12 appearances against the Detroit Red Wings. And I got to admit, after 20 minutes last night, I was thinking to myself, and I'm sure there were a lot of others thinking the same way of, oh boy, here we go again. It's not like the Preds were playing poorly, but
I didn't think they were. I didn't really feel that way.
Did you think that way when Athanasiou scored like 2 minutes in? You're like,
I was like, oh, really? No, I think I went, really? Like, basically, here we go again? Like this again with Detroit? What is the Detroit's? You know, it's like so 2.5 minutes in, I did, but I will say the Dylan Larkin play late in the period, about 3.5 to go, where he had a wide open net to extend it to 2-0.
And he hit the post.
I may, if you would ask me if he puts that home, I probably, after the first period, I'm like, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding me again.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2-0 again.
Well, they kicked down that door in the second period.
Well, right. I mean, that all went away quickly. And, oh, by the way, I don't think Dylan Larkin, who's a tremendous player, we know he's extremely fast and he's a tremendous player. I don't think he recovered from that because if you notice, they showed him he was really frustrated on the bench. Shortly after that, the next period, he would get in a fight with Ryan Ellis and get a 2-minute roughing, which would do good things for the Predators. And then in the third period, he would take it out on Weber. Mm-hmm. With a high stick, a 4-minute double minor. So, I mean, the Predators didn't get a power play from it, but he would sit in the box for 4 more minutes. I mean, I just think that Dylan Larkin was, for whatever reason, the Predators did a good job of making him extremely frustrated. Of course, I think that goal late in the first period, I don't know. I mean, they may have still come out and scored 5 goals in the second period. But you do wonder, with a 2-0 lead, does that change?
It could.
Does that change things, how that game would have played out?
It absolutely could, but it was 1-0 after one, and then it was 5-1 Preds after 40 minutes of play.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Howard looked like a total sieve in that second period.
How about that shot of him on the bench?
Talk about sad faces on the bench. I mean, they showed him 2 or 3 times on the Fox Sports Tennessee broadcast where he looked like –
his eyes were just glossed over and was just like,
staring into space of what just happened.
Well, as you know, 4 goals in just over 5.5 minutes. That'll have that effect on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And a couple of those I think you would like to have back for sure.
Yeah. Probably.
The Bonino goal deflection.
Nothing to do about that.
The Turris goal was like a knuckle puck.
Oh, my. Yeah. That was a weird play.
Yeah.
But still, okay, give Turris some credit. That was a good shot.
Yeah. And then the Sissons goal to make it 3-1.
By the way, that was nasty. Sissons, he likes blazing down the right side, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Just firing away.
Yeah.
In fact, I wouldn't even look for him to pass ever. Like, if they get film on him, he comes down the right side. He's shooting! Get on him! He's going to shoot! I tell you what, it's worked. He's looked really good. Cole Sissons had a good start.
But when the fourth goal went in and Jimmy Howard looked like a fish out of water,
bad turnover.
It just felt like, and you get a goal, and you get a goal. That's how it felt like, because that was 3 goals in 2 minutes.
The Duchesne goal, that was like, honestly, I had to watch it several times because I was like, how did that even get in? Did you think that? I was like, how did that even make it in? Where he was?
Like, what is Jimmy Howard doing?
Right.
I never know what he's doing.
Well, after that, he was sitting on the bench.
Eating meatloaf.
Calling his mom.
Asking about his protege, Jeremy.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was, you're right. And then that was kind of, the fourth goal especially was like, yeah, it's just not going to be his night.
Yeah. So 4-1, and then the Preds made it 5-1 late in the second period on the power play, and they were just completely relentless on that power play. Matt Duchene gets the goal on the rebound, and I think there was some confusion both on the broadcast, in the arena, and with the fans of what exactly happened there, because Jeff Blashill was talking with the refs, and it appeared pretty obvious while the play was going on that the puck hit the net. While the Preds had possession of the puck in the offensive zone, the puck deflects up into the netting, and there's no whistle. And the reaction from Ryan Johansson, it was almost like he threw his head back of, oh, man, the puck went out of play. Then you have the fans in the seconds after that all pointing up saying it hit the net. And then a while longer, I mean, there was no whistle for, I couldn't even tell you how many seconds. It felt like an eternity, 45, 60 seconds. And then Duchene scores, make it 5-1. That was not reviewable.
That's correct.
Not reviewable.
It's not reviewable.
Because it didn't directly lead to the goal.
Yeah. You could tell Detroit was not very happy about that.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
they usually get those. They're usually pretty good about getting, you know, seeing the puck hit the net and blowing it dead. But they missed that one and ended up 5-1.
Worked out for the Predators. Look, those things happen.
Yeah.
You're right, though. It doesn't really happen that much. Like, when do you really see that play? Not very much.
Right.
There's a lot of games every night for 6 months in the league, and you don't really see that happen very often, which, you know, you would think with four guys out on the ice, their job is to watch the puck and watch the action that somebody would catch it getting in the net, right?
Especially Johansson's reaction. I mean, he threw his head back like, oh.
Right.
Like, we had all this possession. Mm-hmm. Now it's out of play.
Yeah.
And then they score.
I don't really know if that had any effect on the game. It probably just was the final dagger.
Hammer, nail, coffin.
Yeah, thank you. 6 feet down.
Yeah.
Start throwing the dirt on it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think at that point it was already pretty determined that the Predators were well in control and were going to finally get a win against Detroit. I mean, hats off to them. They turned it around. I didn't think they played a bad first period. But they came out and they certainly took care of business the final 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Philip Forsberg added one for good measure in the third period to make it 6-1. Philip Forsberg's first goal since returning from the lower body injury in which he missed a few games for.
Six
last
exact
month.
Six games.
I thought Duchene may have tipped that one to get a hat trick.
Really? I just love that play. Like, Forsberg, like, backs it up. You know, it's kind of like the point guard.
Uh-huh.
It's like, goes back out and does the circle. Like, okay, let's start it over. And then just, like, drives down the lane and lays it in. But he didn't drive down the lane. Mm-hmm. He just said, oh, so is nobody going to come out here?
Or
so,
pulls up for the wide open three.
Right. Just like, okay, how about in your eye?
Yeah.
Like, right, you know, it's like, right. Okay, let's start over. Oh, nobody's going to guard me, and the guard just says, okay, I'll just pop this three right here.
But on the TV broadcast, it kind of sounded like it hit something on the way into the net, even when they ran it back on replays.
Okay.
But I could see it look like Forsberg asked Duchene right after the puck went in. It looked like Forsberg asked Duchene, did you get a piece of that?
And really?
You could see Duchene shake his head no. So Forsberg gets the goal.
Well, he went glove side. Duchene was screening, but I didn't. Honestly, I didn't. That didn't cross my mind.
So, Preds get the 6-1 win over Detroit. They move to 9-4-2 on the season. And Darren, did you see the stat that I put out there at the end of the game last night about Pekka Rinne?
No,
that was Pekka Rinne's first win at Detroit since April 17th, 2012.
Since 2012?
Game 4 of round 1 in the 2012 playoffs.
That was start 30, career start 30 for him against Detroit. And the last time he beat him there was 2012?
Yep.
Wow.
Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi were the only ones that were in the lineup that night and also in the lineup last night.
Wow. Good stat. It's just one of those things I'll never understand. Like, there are certain stats you never get. Like, the whole Detroit thing,
How can they own Tampa and get owned by Detroit?
Yeah, I don't really understand there. I mean, back in the day, okay, I get it. I mean, Detroit was the cream of the crop, and they're winning 55, 60 games a year. Okay, I get it in the regular season, but, man, I just – some of that stuff about Detroit, I don't – but, you know, maybe this was the tide turning for the Predators' way moving forward.
Hopefully. I mean, the team knew it.
They were that, that, well by the way, aware. I'm glad you said that because I brought that up today on the radio show, and that did jump out at me. Like they actively talked about it afterwards. They were very aware of their woes against the Red Wings, and you know, some people, because Chase was like, ah, well, you know, of course, and I'm like, that's not a lot
they
of times.
Don't always know that
players are oblivious to stuff. Sometimes if it's not pointed out, like they don't have any, you know, certain things. Sometimes, honestly, they learn things from the media, right? Because they're getting asked questions, and they're like, where is this? You know, I didn't even know.
Like, I'm sure Pecorine didn't know that the last time he won in Detroit was back in April of 2012.
Right.
But, I'm sure he didn't know that.
But it was pretty clear. They were fully aware of how they've played against Detroit over the last 5 or 6 years because they made a point to say, we know we haven't played well against them, and we wanted to make a statement, not only to start off the road trip, but against Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So that was – That did get my attention. I heard Roman Josi and others comment about their record against Detroit.
So speaking of Pecorine, he is now 8-0-2 on the season, and last night he became the first goaltender in NHL history to post a season-opening point streak of at least 10 games at 36 or older.
Very cool.
Belated happy birthday.
Yeah.
By the way.
Sunday.
To Pecorine. He did not get a new contract Sunday.
No, because he has one. He's currently under contract.
But that is kind of the norm with Pecorine.
Well, David Poile is certainly, as he told us today on the radio show, if he keeps handing out contracts and they keep getting 4 points, you know, and keeps playing well. Roman Josi and Austin Watson both playing really well after the announcement that he kind of wishes he'd had some more contracts to give out.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the response he's going to get with the first game.
Last night was also the 7th game this season in which the Preds have scored 5 or more goals. They had 12 of them all last season.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ryan, you've got your research team. I've got my research team, and I put my crack staff of one, that's me, to work last night during postgame, and we came up with this stat. So you want to keep throwing stats at me. I've figured out one.
Hit me.
That you probably haven't figured out.
Okay.
You want to hear the magic number for the Predators this year?
I know where you're going.
6
with this.
Goals.
Wow.
When they get 6 goals, you're not going to win.
Mm.
Okay, they're 3-0.
Can't get that anywhere.
6 goals is the magic number. When they get to 6, it is 2 points and a W.
You would have thought 5.
No.
But last Thursday,
that's the point.
That.
5 is not the magic number.
So what you're saying is that when Philip Forsberg scored to make it 6-1, that's when it was hammer, nail, coffin.
That is when you know you can go on and just do whatever you need to do because the game is over. 6.5 minutes into the third, you would have known that. Once they got to 6, it's over. By the way, they needed 6 to beat the Capitals.
They did.
Now, they had their way with the Ducks and with Detroit, both of them winning 6-1, but they needed all 6 to beat the highest scoring team in the league, right? Washington and Nashville are the 2 highest scoring teams in the league, so it played out that way. 6-5 game.
Coming up next, the Preds offense continues to be hot, and I'm going to ask Darren a question that I posed to Justin Bradford a few weeks ago. We will get to that next. He's Darren McFarland. I'm Ryan Porth. You are listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in. Preds Insiders brought to you every Monday and Wednesday, this week on a Tuesday, because the Preds played last night in Detroit, 6-1 win for the Preds. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry. For all your dental needs, visit KellyERice.com. Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Carrie Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard downtown. Ryan Porth alongside
your sponsors
Darren
are
McCrum.
Growing there, Ryan. That's right, Ryan.
Oh, I had no idea.
Well done.
Popular show, Preds Insiders.
Very good. You get more insiders and more sponsors.
Well, there you go. Absolutely. So last night, the Preds win 6-1 over the Detroit Red Wings. And that now makes it 60 goals through 15 games for the Nashville Predators.
Mm-hmm.
Averages out, this is Franklin High School math for you, 4 goals per game so far for the Nashville Predators.
Impressive.
This season. On pace for 328 goals
for the entire season for the Preds, and their previous team record was 272 set back in the 06-07 season. So I ask you this question, Darren, that I asked Justin Bradford after six games. I ask you after 15 games, which we have more of a sample size, is this going to be the best offense in Preds history? What we're looking at right now?
Yes.
You said that pretty emphatically.
I did.
Why?
Because it just, it looks better. It feels better. Special teams is better. Power play is a big part of it. Oh, by the way, two more power play goals. 10 games of the 15, they've produced at least one power play goal. So that is a factor because they're getting more goals, special teams. By the way, shorthanded goals too. They haven't been having a problem with that.
Yeah.
Special teams has been key. They're just, you know, will the third and fourth lines stay this productive the rest of the way? No.
But
no.
The first and second lines won't
but
remain.
Exactly. That's where I'm going. But the first and second lines, I mean, right now, the secondary scoring is what's working, right?
It's carrying the team. Matt Duchene admitted that in my pregame interview with him for Saturday afternoon against the Rangers. He said that the depth guys are carrying us offensively.
There's
right now.
No doubt. I mean, you get Sissons with 5 goals right now. Bonino leads the team with 8. Craig Smith, who has played really well, and we know his track record. He scores 20 or more goals every year. He has 1 goal. I suspect he'll still get to his mark. It may be 20 on the button, but he's going to get to his mark some way, somehow. By the way, like I said, I think he's playing really well. He's extremely visible. He's out there working hard. He just has 1 goal right now. I mean, they got to get Granlund going. Everybody knows that. He's gone 10 games without a point. But you're right. I mean, they haven't even exploded with the guys that, I mean, if everybody's going to have this Philip Forsberg and 40 goals discussion or Victor Arvidsson, fill in the blank, Matt Duchene, whatever. Well, those are not the guys right now that are scoring at will. I mean, Philip Forsberg and Arvidsson have 6 goals. I get it. But I really do. I mean, they're going to slow down. I mean, they're not going to stay at this pace. They probably won't hit that number that you said.
382. Yeah. Or 328, excuse me.
But they'll have a lull. I mean, it's bound to happen. It happens in a season where we'll be questioning, where's the offense going? Or where's it been? That's just natural. But overall, when it's all said and done, yeah. I just think this, it looks better. It feels better. It looks like a team. And just like I said, with special teams kicking in too, I just think all that combined is going to have them, yes, the best offensive team we've ever seen in Nashville.
I hope the power play continues its success so that Nick Cale of Morning Drive.
Oh, I want it to be top 5.
The Lambert tattoo.
Man, the lamb stamp would be just the best on Nick. It would just be fantastic if they could get to top 5.
He said it's going to go on the forearm.
No, the back. It's going on the back.
It's going on the forearm.
No, he said the back. He's already said the back.
He's
when
said
did
to
he
me,
change?
He has said to me forearm.
No, he has said back.
Mm.
That is. We've got that recorded.
Upper back or lower back?
I called it the lamb stamp. Okay.
So lower.
He said back, and I think even lower was thrown out there. No, it's on record. I don't know where this forearm stuff came from. But look, it's been nice, right? They're obviously operating at a 20% clip right now, just over 20% success rate with the man advantage. I think they're currently 16th. They've got, 12 power play goals. Right now, I think 5th is Vegas at 25%.
That's correct.
All this off the top of my head.
Preds are at 20.7%, 16th in the league.
Vegas is 5 at 25%. But they have, 13 power play goals? Is that right? Predators have 12?
Vegas has 15.
They have 15?
Yes.
Okay,
and
I thought they had
And the Preds
13.
Also have 15. No.
No, that's not right.
That's not right.
That's not right.
I was looking at the wrong column.
Yeah. I think Vegas has 13. Nashville has 12.
Nashville has 12.
Yeah.
Good job, Darren. You can look at a graph on NHL.com better than I can.
Well, I'm not even looking at it.
Well, at some point you did.
Well, you're right. At some point I did. You're right. You're right.
All your post-game research last night.
Yes, me and my staff have won. But, yeah, I mean, that's it's not far off, right? I mean, they can, it's obtainable. I don't know how close they'll get. I don't think top 10 is crazy to throw out there right now, right? I mean, I don't know about top 5. Could it be obtained? Yes. But right now, the way we've seen it, I think top 10 is not a crazy expectation, or to throw that out there and say, come on. Because everybody said, right, it was always natural. If they could just be in the middle of the pack from 31, that would be, you know, 17 would be great.
Well, here they are.
Well, they're 16. And after you've seen what you've seen, I think now it's fair to say, okay, with the weapons that they have and just the new look and kind of the new voice, top 10 is not crazy to throw out there.
They would have to go on a binge and then sustain it,
right,
for them to finish top five, which, look, I'm not going to say it's impossible. Now that they have Duchesne and Forsberg back in the lineup, they kind of hit a dry spell when those two weren't in the lineup. So, by the way, what do you make of Nick Bonino's hot start? 8 goals, leads the team through a month of play. I don't think many people would have had Nick Bonino in their pool for leading the Nashville Predators in goals scored at this point in the season.
What was the line David Poile used? Because I asked him about Nick Bonino's start today. What was it? You have, where do you find the money, or how do you get the money? You have to go to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a reference of, well,
you got to go to the front of the net.
You got to go to the front, man. You got to do the dirty work. You got to get down there, and it's not where everybody wants to go. It sounds easy, right? Everybody's like, why do they all go to the net? Well, yeah, that's great from our view to say that. But unless you've been in that situation and had people poking you with their stick and pushing you around and slashing you and doing all the stuff that goes on there.
Standing in front of a 95-mile-per-hour slap shot.
Or that, too.
Yeah.
A hard piece of rubber coming 100 miles an hour at you.
Yeah. A hard piece of rubber.
You know? I mean, yeah. You know, other than that. Yeah, who wouldn't want to do that?
I like how you dumbed it down to just a hard piece of rubber.
Well, it is. It's just a hard piece of rubber. It actually hurts really bad.
It does.
By the way, my son has got Nerf pucks that look just like real pucks. If they were Nerf, then yeah, everybody would stand in front. Yeah. But guess what? They're not Nerf.
No, they're not.
But he's doing the dirty work. In all seriousness, he's doing, you know, look, that goal, he deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do? He won the draw.
Yep.
And what did he immediately do? The puck comes right out to the point. To Hamuse.
Right to the front of the net.
Goes, slid right to the front of the net.
His career high is 22 goals. At this point, it looks doable.
Mm.
He'll hit a dry spell at some point. He won't keep this up. But 22, when you already have 8, seems doable when you have 67 games left in the season.
If you were to say you have to give a number, I'd probably say 18 or 19.
Okay. That's fair.
Would be my number if I had to pick a number. Because you're right. I mean, he won't stay at this. I mean, obviously, if he stayed at this pace, he would eclipse that and we move on. He's going to have a career year in goals. But I think realistically, 18, 19 goals, which, oh, by the way, they'll sign up for, right? With everything that he brings to the table, sign up all day long.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of numbers, Roman Josi had a lot of numbers added to his bank account last week. But what will make that contract a success for the Nashville Predators? We will bounce that around coming up next. He's Darren McFarland. I'm Ryan Porth. You are listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the show, Preds Insiders, on this Tuesday evening. Ryan Porth alongside Darren McFarland.
Did you forget your name?
I say Preds Insiders so much that I kind of feel like that becomes my name. Hello, I'm Preds Insiders. I'm actually Ryan Porth alongside Darren McFarland. Darren, Donick, and Chase, weekdays 10 to 2, also the pre- and post-game host on the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Tomorrow night, Preds Insiders will originate from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs before Smashville Live with Mike Fisher tomorrow night. Smashville Live, 7 to 8 p.m., Preds Insiders, 6 to 7 p.m. Chase McCabe, your co-host from 10 to 2 on weekdays, will be my co-host tomorrow night on Preds Insiders live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. So come out, say hello. I'm sure you'll come out to say hello to us and not the former captain of the Nashville Predators. So the question I teased before the break, what will make the Roman Josi contract a success for the Preds? And I kind of thought about this question when Elliot Friedman gave his opinion on the contract, on the new contract that Josi signed last week, 8 years, over $9 million per. Elliott Friedman joined you, Darren, alongside Chase and Willie, like he always does, Thursdays at 1 p.m. And it was when he said this when I came up with that thought.
So I look at it this way. You guys are saying either we believe that Yossi is going to be good enough and take care of himself, that he's going to make this most of this deal worth it, or all of it, or B, he's going to win us a cup, and then we're not going to care what he looks like when he's 36 years old. And I like that bet for you guys. I really do. I think at the end of the day, if I was in David Poyle's shoes, would I make the same bet? Yes. Yes, I would.
That was Elliott Friedman last week with Darren, Donick, and Chase. And Darren, when you hear me pose that question of what will make this contract a successful one for David Poyle and the Nashville Predators, what comes to mind?
Well, I mean, that does. I mean, I think that's pretty natural to say.
Stanley Cup.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty easy. So I'm going to ask you this before we go a little bit further with this. Has Ryan Suter been worth it in Minnesota? Has that deal been worth it for the Wild?
No.
Okay, why?
Well, they haven't gotten out of the second round with Suter or Parise. It's not just Suter.
I was going to say Parise, but the only reason I didn't say Parise, because they signed the same deal, is he's missed a lot of time. Like, Ryan Suter's been there night in and night out, chewing up a ton of minutes. He's there for an entire season every year. It logs, right? He's one of the best logging minutes of anybody in the league. True? I mean, was he average 28 minutes a game?
True, but has he truly been playing at an elite level these last few years? He's been good. He's been pretty good. But has he been playing at that elite level that he was at when he signed that contract?
I mean, for somebody who only sees him five times a year, right? I mean, he looks, when I see him against the Predators, he basically looks like the same guy I watched every night when he played for the Predators.
He hasn't been in a lot of Norris Trophy conversations.
No.
And a lot of people thought him going to Minnesota, getting out of Shea Weber's shadow, was going to open up Norris Trophy chances for him with the Minnesota Wild. And that has not happened yet.
Okay.
He's been very good with the Minnesota Wild.
Does it fall under the category of, I don't know, maybe that's not a good example. I was saying, playing in Minnesota, they don't get, I guess.
It's the state of hockey.
Yeah, no. I was going to say, that's why it's not a great example. But the Wild are not traditionally a team that, let's just say, the national media, they're talking about night in and night out. True?
True. They are on a lot of national TV games, whether they're good or bad.
Yeah. I mean, I know all their games are sold out. I get it. State of hockey. I get all that. But
I would say Suter and Parise collectively have not worked out for Minnesota, because those two contracts collectively have completely handcuffed that organization in terms of building around them and bringing and keeping their own talent. Paul Fenton didn't do a good job of making it work in his time there, but neither did, I believe it was Chuck Fletcher right before Paul Fenton. I just don't think those pieces have totally meshed in Minnesota, and that's because they have two albatross contracts taking up a ton of room.
I don't disagree with you. Look, I'm just posing the question because I don't disagree, but I think, honestly, the reason that you feel that way, and I don't disagree with you, is because of what you said. They haven't had the success in the playoffs, and to me, that's really what you always get judged by. It, fair or unfair, that's just what it is. I mean, Roman Josi can look this. By the way, when it kicks in, he'll be 30 years old. Okay, so there's obviously risks. That's why Elliott Friedman was talking about. He's talking about an 8-year deal for a guy who's going to be 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And what is he going to look like at 35? Will we look like a 36? Will we look like a 37? What will he look like at 38? What I'm getting at is, let's say the next 5 years, starting next year, look exactly what we've seen the last 5 years. But the Predators don't have huge success in the playoffs. You'll view that as what? He's the same player. He's doing exactly what you signed him for.
But he hasn't won a Norris Trophy in that time?
Nope. Maybe in the discussion, but he hasn't won it.
I don't think it would just be Roman Josi at this point.
You see what I mean?
It would be the entire core that they have locked up.
But he's the guy you gave the most money to.
Absolutely. And he's the captain.
He's the captain.
The co-face of the franchise, yeah. As I would put it, with Pecorine. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a totally fair question.
You see what I'm getting at? Like, so nothing changed on the ice. But the only thing is they haven't ultimately, it's a team game, by the way. It's not just Roman Josi. It's not up to Roman Josi to win them the Stanley Cup. It is a team game.
Mm-hmm.
The same way it is in Minnesota. And so I think the reason I bring that up is because Ryan Suter, okay, fine, you don't give him that money. So what's your option for your top defenseman for the Wild all these years? By the way, he's been there since 2012.
Which is hard to believe.
He's been gone a long time. It is hard to believe. Like, he has logged a ton of games and a ton of minutes with the Wild. He's been solid as a rock as your top defenseman. Okay, fine. Well, what does your team look like without him? Who's your hardcore top defenseman if you don't have Ryan Suter? Okay, yeah, you just saved $100 million, but what does the franchise look like? What does their defense look like?
Mm-hmm.
What does their success rate look like?
And you can spin that in the Preds way of what were your options? I mean, David Poile had to get Roman Josi signed to that contract. Course. We all know that.
Of course.
It goes without saying, we were all going to be surprised if it went on into midseason or past the trade deadline without him having a contract, because the Preds wanted him long-term. He wanted to be here long-term.
Yep.
At the end of the day, you make it work when both...
Well, don't forget.
When there's mutual interest like that.
Ryan Suter wanted to be in Minnesota. He chose Minnesota. I mean, we know why. I mean, but that was his choice. So, didn't they owe that to him too, no matter what? Isn't it been worth it for them? He chose them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He chose them over everybody else, and he chose them over the organization that drafted him in the first round. So... Didn't they owe it to give that to him no matter what? I guess.
Because he was going to go somewhere else.
And I don't know how they answer it. I'd love to know. Like, I would love to find out from Michael Russo if he ever did interviews.
Yeah.
But I would love to, or somebody up there that covers it, like, okay.
Or the midday host on the Wild flagship in Minnesota, whoever that may be.
How do you answer that? Was it worth it? Because it is tricky, because I think we get so caught up, and I get it. I totally get it. Of, well, what did they win? How far did they go? And it's like, that's the only thing. Like, there's a body of work for how long does the season? October, November, December, January, February, March. That's 6 months. And then what? The first week of April. 6 months. Like, do you just, you toss that 82 games every year. You just throw that off to the side and say, what did he do on the big stage? And that's all that matters to determine whether a contract was worth it or not. You see what I mean? That's a dangerous game. Like, that's almost not even fair, even though it's kind of the world we live in. But to me, it's like Roman Josi wanted to be here. Everybody loves Roman Josi, whether it's the players, the coaches, the fans, the media. He loves being here. He loves the organization. They drafted him. He's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
He's their captain. No matter what happens, and obviously everybody wants it to be the perfect ending, David Poile included, of winning it all. But if it doesn't, was it still worth it? Like, how could your answer really not be still yes if he still plays the way that he plays?
I think if it were to become a bust, he would have to miss.
Tons of injuries. Like Parise, honestly, he's missed a lot of time.
He's missed a ton of time. And they still, both Suter and Parise, have 6 years left on those deals. Suter's 34 and Parise's 35.
They're not going to be worth it. I get it. They're not going to be worth it. Especially, that's why I didn't even bring Parise, because it's easy just to say it's not worth it because he hasn't been readily available. But Suter has. I mean, I'm looking at, I just pulled him up because I wanted to make sure. Since he's gotten to Minnesota, he basically plays 82 games all year. I mean, there's, you know, clearly 79, 78. He's taken a couple games off here or there, but no significant injuries. He's been available, readily available.
He even,
year.
Broke a bone in his leg at the end of one season.
Yeah.
And hasn't missed.
So maybe their answer is no, it's not worth it, I guess, depending on who you talk to. But I guess to answer your question, it's going to be worth it no matter what, unless it's what we just said, which there's no way to predict that, right? It's impossible. It's just the risk you take. There's a risk on the franchise. of when you sign somebody to an 8-year deal worth tons of money, no one can predict injuries unless they have a long history of being injured and people could look at you and say, the writing was on the wall. I mean, they've missed this, this, and this over the years. You should have known this was going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've had this issue or that issue. You should have known. There's not that, right? So there's no way to predict that.
So coming up next, I want to carry this over into the final segment here because I have an additional thought here. We may have one way we think, but the fans, I think, are going to have another way they think about this at the end of the 8 years if it goes one way. We'll get into that next. He's Darren McFarland. I'm Ryan Porth. Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders. Ryan Porth alongside Darren McFarland on this Tuesday evening. Coming up next is Paul McCann and Company with Slapshot Radio. We're carrying over this conversation we had last segment of what will make the Roman Yossi contract a success for the Nashville Predators. And Darren, last segment you said that it's a success no matter what, unless Roman Yossi runs into the injury bug, the performance drops, and it's clear that he's not the same defenseman at $9 million as he was at $4 million all these years leading up to this contract extension. And I would mostly agree with you. I do think if you're going to make Roman Yossi the third highest paid defenseman in the league, more conversation about him being a front runner or in the conversation for the Norris Trophy, I think that is something that you would like to see. If you're going to pay out all that money to Roman Yossi,
of course,
you would like to see for sure, not just for Yossi, but the entire core, for them to get the 16th win in the postseason and win a Stanley Cup. Or else I think a lot of fans are going to look back and say, that was a great run with this core, but they didn't get that Stanley Cup. I think that is a natural instinct, a natural thought for a lot of fans.
I think it goes without saying. Right. I mean, I think everybody would agree with that.
But I do think there is, I don't know how big of a fraction it is, but I do think a fraction of this fan base will now hold higher standards for Roman Yossi because of the contract, because this was the highest the biggest contract the Preds have ever given out themselves. Shea Weber signed the offer sheet, but that was done by the Flyers and the Preds matched it. This is the biggest contract they have ever given out. And I just think that's how fans operate nowadays. You know, I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan. Joey Votto is under so much more scrutiny now than he was before he got his 10-year, $200 million contract because of the price tag. Before that contract, all Reds fans loved the on-base percentage. All Reds fans loved the high batting average. But now he's getting $20 million a year. They want him to hit 40 home runs. They want him to drive in 100 runs every year and hit for over 300 when that's not the kind of player he is. I think fans just naturally, when they see a higher price tag on a player, they expect more out of that player. And I think that would have been the same case if Matt Duchene had gotten the $10 million a year like it was rumored back in the summer before he signed for $8 million a year. I think there was a big difference between the 10 and the 8 just for expectation's sake that he didn't get more than Ryan Johansson. He earned the same. He's not expected to do Connor McDavid things because he's being paid like Connor McDavid, if that makes sense.
Well, that's how the world works. And that's what you know as a player. So, I mean, every player will tell you they don't care. I don't care about the scrutiny. If most players, for the most part, not all, in most sports, not all sports, it's the highest bidder, right? I'm just going to go who's going to get me paid, and especially with guaranteed contracts. So if that's your mentality, that you have to also then sign up for what comes with that if it doesn't work out. I mean, as long as the Phillies don't make the playoffs every year, Bryce Harper is going to get scrutinized beyond belief.
100%.
Okay. But he's got $330 million in the bank, or will. It's guaranteed. And he's already made a ton of money. But that's what you sign up for, right? I mean, you have to know that as a player. If you don't, well, shame on you. And shame on your agent if he hasn't prepared you, or the agent hasn't prepared you for life in the, I guess, as they say, the fast lane, which is high dollar. Because, yeah, there are certain fans that will just judge you. You make tons of money, which if they were presented with that same offer and they were in those shoes, they would sign to, right? if they were the player. But then, you know, it's also fair for them to scrutinize you and look at you differently. I mean, think about this. What have we always said about Cali Yarncroke? Right? He's okay. What if Cali made $6 million
a year? Oh, well, higher standards. You would expect him to produce a lot more than he does.
What if he made 4.8?
Same thing, but he makes two.
Right. He makes two for 6 years. $2 million a year for 6 years. And so virtually no one says a word, right? I'm not saying Cali hasn't lived up to anything. He's been tremendous this year. But I'm saying overall, right? I mean,
you're right.
$2 million a year. If he made $6 million a year, we would have a completely different discussion.
Like we do with Kyle Turris.
Is that fair? I don't know. That's just the way it works. I'm not here to tell you if it's fair or not. That's just the way. And if Kyle Turris made $2 million a year, how much would we have talked about Kyle Turris last year? Would people be screaming from the mountaintops about the lack of production from Kyle Turris if he was making $2 million a year?
No.
No. Why? Don't you still want him to be producing?
Because he's only banking $2 million
exactly.
A year.
Exactly. Like, just think about how silly that is, right? Like, if you're rooting for a team and you want a team to be successful, you're saying, well, yeah, but they don't make as much money, so I don't really expect it. Well, why? They're out. You need them to produce. Last year, there were times when they needed Kyle Turris to be good. So it doesn't matter as much because if they were only making $2 million a year, you can let that go. Well, what if your team needs him to be better? Yeah, but he only makes $2 million a year. Oh, okay. But if he makes $6 million, I'm going to scream from the mountaintops. Like, that can't happen. Like, oh, no, you didn't. You better be better. You make $6 million, right? I mean, think about just how silly that, like, we just, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I think it's silly or not. That's just what it is.
If that's the way it works.
If I made $5 million a year to do a radio show, guess what? I would be scrutinized and looked at differently. There would be people out there that would listen to every word I said. And whenever I make mistakes, because when you talk for 4 hours a day or even longer, you're going to make mistakes.
You would have a Funhouse account.
Yeah.
The one for Mike Francesa.
Right. Right. I mean, that's just the way he's a prime example, right? Look at the stage that he's on. And now he's turned into a laughingstock. And because he's at the top of the mountain and he's had lots of success. Nothing changed with me other than my bank account and it got out that I make $5 million a year. And then instantly people that listen to the show right now that have, you know, no clue what I make could care less. It's not a big deal. And like the show, if I made $5 million a year, they would instantly have a problem with the show. Mm-hmm. They would instantly have a problem with the way I operate. You know, like, how dumb is he? Like, he didn't even know this. Or, like, all of a sudden, my mistakes would then be scrutinized, right? Where now it's like, you know, like,
how can this guy be winless?
Right. How can you let this guy on the air? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, I can't believe you guys pay him that much money to do that, right? That's the only thing that changed. Nothing changed with me other than my salary became public. And people were like, Darren McFarland makes $5 million a year to do that? Are you kidding me? What a joke.
Mm-hmm. It's just the way
it is. See what I mean? But guess what? If I signed up for $5 million a year, I also know that that's coming.
Yeah. Okay? And I'm sure Roman Josi knows he's going to be under a bigger microscope over these next 8 years than he was the previous seven when he was making $4 million a year.
But here's the deal. Do I want to be scrutinized? Do I want all that? No, I don't want that. I absolutely don't want that. I would love for everybody to love me and praise my work. But would I say no to $5 million a year because of that?
No.
You know the answer. Just like you wouldn't either, right? I mean, what do you expect? A player's not going to say no. I wouldn't say no. I don't want that to happen, but it's going to happen. Get ready for it. And it's literally just because of what you make.
For sure. And, you know, we haven't even gotten into Austin Watson. We're just about out of time. Congrats to Austin Watson. The three-year, $4.5 million contract that was announced in the middle of the game last Thursday night.
During the second period.
Was not expecting that. But congrats to Austin Watson. He's been through a lot. And he has proven, even through some of the off-ice troubles that he's gone through, just how valuable of a commodity he is to the third or fourth line, whichever line he's in on a given night. So that was cool to see for him as an individual to be rewarded like that.
Hal Gill and I talked to him post game that night after that game. And it was the game against Calgary, and of course a tough loss. He had two goals. I thought he was gonna have the game winner late in the third.
Certainly felt like it.
He had 4 points, but wasn't meant to be. They lose 6-5, and just watching him being in Barrel House and watching his body language, it was really cool to see him when I asked him about everything you've been through and for the organization to stick with you and then reward you with a new contract for 3 years, once again, guaranteed. And David Poile actually brought it up today on the radio show. He said they wanted to reward him, not with just a new contract, but they felt like because he worked at everything that went on last year. And Austin Watson, you could tell, going back to me, the body language, it meant a lot to him and his family that they've stood by him. It was more than just a contract extension. That's what I'm getting at. Like, there was more than just that. Like, he was holding back almost in a room full of people in Barrel House, live on the radio, because you could tell it really affected him. Like, it meant a ton. And David Poile said this morning, the general manager, like, they wanted to just not give him a year. Like, it would be easy to be like, yeah, you know what, let's just go on and extend you for next year just to show you how much we appreciate. He said he made it a point to say, you worked hard on you behind the scenes, and so we should reward you with more than just a year or two. How about 3 years?
That's cool.
Like, it was them sending a message too, like, hey, thanks. You know, thanks to you for working hard to fix, work on you and work on some of your issues and not just throwing the towel, because there are players and there are people that unfortunately can't get past this, and it's a real problem, and we don't need to go down that road in that hole, but we know that some people just give up, and unfortunately they need a lot more help, and they can't pull themselves out of it. And it was good to see that, you know, that didn't happen to Austin. And he openly talks about it. That's the one thing I've always appreciated about Austin Watson. He's very candid. He doesn't hold back. He'll tell you like it is. And I can tell you, I have always appreciated that from him. Always. He's a straight shooter.
1,000%.
Straight shooter. There's no BS, and I absolutely appreciate that. You can talk to him in the good times, and you can talk to him in the bad times. Either way, he's consistent. And I for one, really appreciate that.
And it's always been that way.
Yep.
With number 50.
That is absolutely true.
Darren McFarland, you can catch his work weekdays 10 to 2 ESPN 102.5 The Game and the pre- and post-game show of the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, thank you as always for stopping by.
Thank you, Ryan. Always appreciate it.
Smashville Live tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Mike Fisher will be our special guest alongside Braden Gall. That's 7 to 8 p.m. I will be out there with Chase McCabe from 6 to 7 at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. That's all tomorrow night. And then the Preds are back at it Thursday night in Colorado. This has been Preds Insiders. Coming up next, it is Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game.